Hello, Stéphane Rambel here. It is my great pleasure to let you know that my trio is going to be part of the Susquehanna Summer Solstice Festival. We're going to be on Friday, June 20th at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. at the festival in French Asylum. 2 p.m. I'm going to teach a workshop on the art of Django Reinhardt and the gypsies, the gypsy music on guitar. And at 8 p.m. we're going to have a show at the festival. So it's going to be my trio with Josh Kay on guitar and oud and Harry Forman-Cohen on bass. It's going to be an amazing concert. You don't want to miss it. We're going to explore something from the oud, you know, some of the origins of the guitar. Like moody stuff. Some of the songs I wrote for Woody Allen, such as Beach Row Fada. Some hot swing. Some gypsy stuff. Like a lot of good stuff. So that's gonna be June 20th at the Susquehanna Summer Solstice Festival. Looking forward to see you there. It's gonna be an amazing afternoon of teaching and an amazing evening of concert. See you there. Peace.
Stéphane Rambal, the guitarist extraordinaire, and Bistro Fada, that was used as the theme song for Woody Allen's award-winning film Midnight in Paris. He, there, Stéphane, inviting us to the 2025 Susquehanna Summer Solstice Festival at French Asylum, and that's through June 22nd. And the painters will get underway the 16th, but we'll tell you more about that. It turns out that Stéphane was born in Paris, and he grew up in Fontainebleau. In one of those lovely coincidences, he'll be performing at a site here in Bradford County that has ties to French history, as we'll soon learn. In addition, Fontainebleau, where he grew up, and its famous forest have ties, first to the Barbizon painters, who made studies for their more finished canvases outdoors. They painted farmers in the fields, and many favored the forest of Fontainebleau because of the wide variety of large trees growing there. The Barbizon painters were active from about 1830 to 1870. The next group of young painters came through the forest of Fontainebleau in the 1860s. Back then, they had no name and no theory beyond working in a more naturalistic manner. So they trekked through Fontainebleau and other locales to paint en plein air, in the open air. Eventually, with the application of new theories about light and color to their paintings, they developed what came to be known as the Impressionist style. That from Blair Updike. As it happens, at the core of the 2025 Susquehanna Summer Solstice Festival is a plein air painting competition in the week leading up to the weekend events, beginning on Friday, June 20th, the weekend events, with Stéphane Rambal and more. As Stéphane told us, he'll present a guitar workshop, Django-focused, and that's Friday afternoon at 2, with a performance that night. Brian Keeler and John Lacuda are members of the festival committee, and they stopped in at the WVIA Benko studio to fill us in on the event and some of its history. Brian Keeler.
It's the fourth annual Susquehanna Summer Solstice Fest at French Asylum. It came to be as a outgrowth of a canoe trip that several of us had taken for over 30 years. And then one year we stopped at French's Island and said that this would be a great place for a festival. So there was a core group of us and we decided. We got a lot of support from the Arts Council and Brooks Eldridge Martin and the French's Island board. They were all enthused about it. And so it just fell together perfectly.
And how did it start and develop in terms of the visual arts and the music offerings?
Yeah, it's remained consistent with a vision of combining plein air painting and music. It's grown in each aspect, but the core idea of it stayed the same as a combination. But it also has this part where we have speakers like John Lacuda and other people that speak on a variety of things, art, art history, the environment, and we have authors and poets come in. So that's an important part of it, sort of blending and melding the arts. And dance is a part of it also.
And John, you know history so well. Tell us what French Asylum is all about.
French Asylum is simply that. It was an asylum, which means a refuge for the monarchists, who were hoping to get Marie Antoinette and her children out of France during the Reign of Terror. And they came here under the leadership of Talleyrand, who was a priest by trade. I think he was a bishop, but then he became a revolutionary. But when Robespierre and the madmen of the Reign of Terror took over, he left that and he became more or less a diplomat. And his job was to try to get French people who were loyal to the monarchy out of France. When Napoleon took over, he realized that the Reign of Terror had gone much, much too far. In fact, more people died in the Reign of Terror's 1 year of the Reign of Terror than in the 300 years of the Spanish Inquisition in the Loire Valley. But when Napoleon took over, and he was a military man, and he saw that this was becoming a self-inflicted wound, he would start to rein in those people who had been committing these atrocities. And a lot of the people who were against the revolution decided that they could go back. So French Asylum actually failed. Talleyrand actually went and worked for Napoleon. He became one of his diplomats, his chief diplomat, as a matter of fact. But there's still a French influence, like the town of Duchore is actually named for a Frenchman. There's the Laporte House. There are people like the Lamoureux who trace their ancestry back to Bradford County and environs. And so it is a beautiful bucolic setting on what's called an apron. An apron is a flat area between a ridge and the river. And there's an overlook called the Marie Antoinette Overlook. You could actually look down onto French Asylum. And it's a beautiful place, and it's underutilized, it's underappreciated. Its significance in history is almost not even known. So it's a great place for a festival. I must say it has one of the windiest roads in northeastern Pennsylvania. I've driven it multiple times. But once you get there, it's a great place. It's right on the river. We have bald eagles literally nesting right across the river, and that's one of the presenters is going to be a staff member from Vosburgh Neck State Park is going to come up and talk about the bald eagles there, along with a fishing guide and a poet and a fellow who does prose. And I'm going to do the history of art and conservation in the persons of Gifford Pinchot and John Muir and their conflicts over conservation as opposed to preservation. So we have everything from prose to poetry, from the history to the future of nature in a man-made world. And I think it's going to be a well-rounded, interesting event above and beyond all the great paintings that are going to be seen there.
Brian, John just described the area, French Asylum, and you talked about taking these canoe trips and that you pulled in there and said, aha, you have the eye of a painter. You are a sky fellow. What do you love about the topography, the landscape, the light there?
It's really a unique topography with the river winding through there. I was told early in my life that the river through Bradford County and Wyoming County goes every direction in the compass at some point. When you see it on a map, it's really a serpentine, curlicue kind of thing. And the topography is very special. It's deep valleys is what I like about it from so many vantage points. And I'm always discovering new ones that I hadn't seen before. There was one near Tunkhannock. A friend of mine, Richard Fitzsimmons, showed me where this was. It's a view. It's on private property, so it's not accessible. But he has a painting that was done there many years ago. So, the beauty of the topography and the light. And speaking of clouds, today was just a spectacular cloud day on the way down. These wonderful billowy clouds that were always changing and morphing. And I'm from Wailusing, which is just about 10 miles south of French Asylum. But it was great to hear John talk about it. You know, I've lived there all my life, but that was educational to hear John talk about the history and the people that were involved at the time.
You mentioned at the start when you were laying things out for us, Brian, plein air. And if people don't know what that suggests, please tell us and how that figures in this event.
Yes, it's a great fitting. Plein air is a French word that means open air, painting in the open air. It's become quite a popular type of expression these days. I mean, artists have always done it, but now there's a magazine devoted to it, and there's these festivals. I was just in Philadelphia for the whole week for one of the major national ones called the Wayne Plein Air Festival, and there was 32 of us from all over the country, top painters from all over the country that gathered there, and it was really intense. But a lot of great camaraderie. The artists are all very supportive. And ours was inspired by that. And so we have a great group of artists from all over the country that converge for ours as well.
And you painters will be there in advance of the weekend.
Yes, we'll start on Monday morning. We'll all convene there at French's Island. And then they have the week. Well, it's 5 days, Monday through Friday. They have to turn in their paintings by Friday. They'll all be framed. And Brooks, Eldridge Martin, and the crew at the French's Island have made this wonderful gallery there in a pavilion. They put up plywood panels, and it blocks the wind, and the paintings are protected, but it still has an outdoor feel to it, and there's lighting put up, so it's really a nice setting for it. And we have a great judge this year, a friend of mine. His name's Steve Slawinski. He's a retired art educator from Troy, Pennsylvania, and an active painter and jeweler, so he'll be an excellent juror.
Let's just ask about music, because you are a musician,
sure.
Brian, so you all have selected a great lineup of performers.
Yeah, that's been part of the fun of it, is organizing. It's part of the challenge, too, because there's only a limited amount of time, and so we're focusing on regional and some international people. In fact, our headliner is a well-known gypsy jazz guitarist, Stefan Rembel. He was the composer and the performer of the theme song to Woody Allen's movie Midnight in Paris. It's a great movie if you haven't seen it. And so I'm really excited about Stefan coming, and he's going to do a guitar masterclass on Saturday morning as well, focusing on the melodies of Django Reinhardt. And since he's from France, he lives in Maplewood, New Jersey now, but he's French, so it's a perfect blending to have him and the music of Django. Django played in Paris, and he has all these wonderful songs that were influenced by Debussy, and so it's a great fit to have Stefan there. And there are other great groups, Mark Woodyatt's Vanishing Point Jazz Combo, and my own combo, Zingology. We also do Gypsy Swing, and then two great blues groups, Scott Weiss and Clarence Spady will both be there on Saturday night. And there's a lot of other groups too, so we have 17 groups over the weekend.
And John, you are always helping us understand the artists of the past who help us understand our place in the world, what that would be in this case, usually Pennsylvania.
Yes, but for the meet and greet, I'm going to expand my discussion to include the genesis of the culture of conservation in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, using, among other people, three sculptors, I'll name Calder, three painters, I'll name Thomas, two governors of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, two photographers, one cartographer, a medical doctor who became a senator, one lawyer, and one comic actor, both from California, because I am going to compare not only the genesis of the conservation ethos in Pennsylvania, but also in California. And in California, there's a different genesis, and it has to do with what they are called the Californios. Those were descendants of the original Spanish-speaking settlers who came to California, or what they called Alta California, in the 1700s. And they had a certain view of their land and of their heritage that they thought they were losing in the early days of the 20th century. And two in particular, one was Miguel Estudillo. And Estudillo was a lawyer who actually was responsible for the act of retrocession. Now, people may not know it, but Yosemite did not start off as a national park. It started off as a state park. It was given to the state of California because there was a naturalist, or basically a mountain man, who loved it so much that he found photographs of a photographer and gave them to a politician from California by the name of John Condis. And John Condis took these photographs from a Carlton Watkins and convinced Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, to have this set aside as a state park. And there was a gift from the United States government to the state of California in 1864. Now, that was 4 years before John Muir even got there. It didn't become a national park until 1890, but the land was still owned by the state of California. And it was not until 1905 that Miguel Estedillo actually pushed a bill through the assembly in California giving back the land to the federal government, because he, like so many of his fellow Californios, was afraid that the entire legacy of the Spanish-speaking population there and their large tracts of land was going to be destroyed. So I'm going to focus on him, and I'm also going to focus on someone who some of them my age might remember. If you remember the Cisco Kid, the television show, the Cisco Kid, where you had the swashbuckling Cisco Kid, and you had Pancho, his sidekick. Pancho was none other than Leo Carrillo, who also was a member of the Californios. In fact, his great-grandparents were married by Father Junipero Serra in the 1700s. And he was interested in saving the culture and also saving the land, and he was responsible for saving San Simeon. If it wasn't for him, San Simeon would have been in disrepair. And in 1972, my brother and I were traveling up Highway 1, where it was a Highway 101, in California, looking for a place to camp. And we were aiming to camp at Leo Carrillo State Beach. But in fact, it was booked solid, so we had to go a little farther. And we drove through that entire area. And I'm wondering, who was Leo Carrillo? My brother said, well, he was the Grand Marshal of the Pasadena, the Rose Bowl Parade. And he was. He was a horseman, and he was he was famous as a vaquero, which is basically a cowboy, but a very fancy cowboy. But besides being a comic actor most of his life, he was interested in saving what he saw as what was authentically Californian. Large haciendas, large plantations, missions, including Mission Santa Barbara. And he was interested in saving those things. And so the ethic or the ethos of conservation in California came from a slightly different place than it did in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Just to clarify, John mentioned the meet and greet. That's where he's going to give his talk. It's on Tuesday, June 17th at the Grovedale Winery in Wailusing. And the artists will all come there. They'll bring three paintings that they've done prior to the exhibit, or maybe one that they've done in Wailusing the day before. And I have another combo called Apogee. We're going to play jazz for it. And John's going to speak at 7 o'clock. But will you do that also on Saturday? Will you give your talk again on Saturday?
No. The talk on Tuesday is going to be a broader talk about the development of the culture of conservation in Pennsylvania as well as in California. There's going to be a slightly different focus on the Saturday talk. It's actually going to be about the perceived conflict between Gifford Pinchot and John Muir, between the idea of conservation and preservation, and it's going to be set against the backdrop of our national forests and our national parks.
Remind people who Gifford Pinchot is.
Well, Gifford Pinchot was the two-term governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He was the first head of the U.S. Forest Service, and he was a dedicated conservationist, not preservationist. John Muir, who was a very gifted writer. He had a poet's mind. He had an artist's eye, the poet's mind. He was more of a preservationist. He was interested in preserving the wild simply because it's wild. But people have a misconception that he had something to do with the founding of Yosemite. In fact, he didn't get there until 4 years after it had been a state park. And the person who really should get the credit is a guy by the name of Galen Clark. He basically was a miner, and he went into the mountains to preserve his health. And he was the one who showed John Muir around the place.
So that's the range of offerings during this special event. Where do the musicians play, and do you do any music for dancing?
They'll perform in this tent, and there'll be a special dance floor that's constructed. It's been there. I mean, we assemble it each year. And it's a big tent, and we're going to have, in the event that it's as hot as it was last year, which we're hoping it's not, but we have special cooling devices that we'll have there this year. And the river's not too far away, so if people want to go for a dip, they could go down to the river and take a dip. And there's going to be a canoe trip that's part of it this year, too, that will be on Saturday morning. So that's where the music will be during the festival.
And how do we find out all the details?
Yeah, it's on the website, susquehannasolstice.com. And it's under the auspices of the Bradford County Regional Arts Council in Towanda. And you can contact them if you have any questions. And the tickets are available online. You get them at a discount. They're really inexpensive for all that's offered there. And there will be an awards ceremony on Friday. We have increased our amount. We advertised it as $4,000, but we're now over $5,000 in prizes that will be awarded at the ceremony on Friday afternoon at French's Island. And then the artist's work will be available for purchase and on display until Sunday. And then on Sunday, there'll be a separate awards ceremony because the artist will be working on location. So we have several awards for best figurative painting. So artists may paint the musicians. They've done that in the past where they set up right. So it's an interesting thing to see the artist portraying the musicians. And so it's a nice interaction of the visual and the musical. And then there's an event on Sunday called the Quick Draw, which is a thing that a lot of plein air painters, plein air festivals do. So from 10 till 2, they have 2 hours to complete a painting, and then that'll be on display, a painting of the historic French's Island.
Is the solstice actually during your festival?
Yes, I think it's on Saturday, the 21st. Yes.
Is the actual solstice.
Yes, and last year we had a cosmic convergence that was interesting. We had the solstice and the full moon at the same time. I thought we were blessed with an auspicious convergence, but it'll still be great this year.
Brian Keeler and John Lacuda, members of the committee, speaking about the 2025 Susquehanna Summer Solstice Festival from June 16th through the 22nd. It's the fourth annual, and it will bring artists and musical performers to the region. Beginning Monday, the 16th, plein air artists will set up their easels and capture the beauty of the towns and the villages and the environment within 35 miles of the historic French's Island site in Bradford County. And now, over $6,000 in plein air prizes will be announced on Friday, June 20th. And then while the artists paint the endless mountains, musicians will be gearing up for 16 concerts on the weekend of music. And of course, we heard that the Friday headliner is guitarist extraordinaire Stéphane Rombaud. He'll have his trio, and at 2 o'clock on Friday, he will offer a workshop on the guitar stylings of Django Reinhardt. And then at 8 o'clock, there will be a remarkable concert not to be missed. American blues master Clarence Spady will take the French's Island stage on Saturday, and that's the 21st. The blues rock soul guitarist Scott Weiss will be on hand, joined by Robert Kopeck and Roger Voss. Sunday is Homegrown Festival Day. When you hear the word homegrown, we think of George Graham. WVIA's George Graham will be on hand as MC, and he'll be introducing Lindsay Van Gordon, a dynamic singer-songwriter, jam band and alt-rock sounds from the Dallas Carter Band. And then Wilkes-Barre's Don Chappelle, living on the Susquehanna Riverbanks, has inspired Don, and he has a great and strong commitment to the environment, and he'll be performing. He has collaborated with folk legend Pete Seeger and others. Remember the efforts to clean up the Hudson River? He was part of that. And then the final concert on Sunday will be the Dirt Farm Band. Returning favorites, the Jahail Kirkuff Memorial Players, a group of musicians organized by Dan Fassett, and they're dedicated to preserving and emulating Kirkuff's old-time fiddle music, rooted in New York's Southern Tier and northeastern Pennsylvania. And Wyalusing native Brian Keeler, whom we just heard, well, he's also a guitarist, and he is part of a swing jazz band, Xenology, and they'll perform. And he'll be part, I believe, of the painting as well, because he's an extraordinary visual artist as well. There will be demonstrations by artisans. There'll be woodworkers from Pennsylvania's Lumber Museum. And there'll be tours of the La Porte House Museum on the asylum grounds. Nature walks. You'll see eagles and so much more, more than we can mention. For more information, it's SusquehannaSolstice.com. SusquehannaSolstice.com, and it's running from June 16th through the 22nd of June. The musical weekend is the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the painters will be painting plein air, en plein air, on the 16th, 17th, right up through the weekend.